And so gift giving is a tradition that goes along with Christmas. As I said in my prayer earlier, we know that there's a lot of human traditions that have been connected and put upon Christmas. In fact, we know the date of Christmas itself is really something that the early Christians, you know, in trying to connect with culture, their culture of their day, trying to, you know, invade the culture, as Tim Kofeldt said a few weeks back, they substituted Christmas for a pagan holiday that fell on December 25th. And instead of allowing their unsaved friends to continue to celebrate with pagan immorality and licentiousness, they gave them a Christian tradition where they could celebrate God's gift of the birth of His Son. And so we have this beautiful gift. What is it? We watched some of the college and career age young people got together last evening, and I had the pleasure of stopping in and hanging out with them for a few minutes, and they watched The Grinch. Not the old original one, but the one with Jim Carrey. And, you know, some of you hate it, some of you like it. That's really not the point. The main point I just wanted to say is, at the end of the movie, the main point is that there's something special about Christmas that you just can't take out of Christmas. You can remove all the trappings, all the decorations, all the presents, but you can't take that special something out of Christmas. It's still there. And that's what the Grinch realized. That's what all the people had to realize as well. What is it? It is this, that God has given a very special gift to us. It's a gift of His peace and His favor through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. You might say, well, that's nice, Pastor. That doesn't sound like much. Well, think about it for just a moment. Look at the time that we live in today. We live in a time of great turmoil, of great unrest. You look all across our world and there's wars going on. In Syria, people have had to leave and go into refugee camps. Some of you perhaps know someone right now that is incarcerated, perhaps even a family member is incarcerated. There continues to be a growing trend towards lawlessness in our country, a growing trend towards hopelessness, the increase of these horrible attacks have been very frightening over the past few years. We continue to see that over and over again. We survey the world scene. It's a frightening place. We think about our own lives, and I know some of you have rushed into this Christmas season. In fact, there might be some of you, you're still not done Christmas shopping. You're hoping that Kmart's open after the service. I don't think it is. You're in trouble. And we just rush through the turmoil and the chaos of the season. We can have deep tranquility and peace and satisfaction in our hearts. True peace. Not peace that the world gives. Not peace where you see the bumper sticker that says coexist. Well, I agree, live and let live and love, but it's awful hard to have love when your neighbor's trying to kill you. We shared in our church service just a week or two ago that we're praying for a group of Christians that are in the country of Iran that have been arrested or are being held without any charges because they simply were having a Bible study. And although there's supposed to be religious freedom in that country, they're not having religious freedom. They're in prison. What is peace? What is peace when we think about it for just a few moments? Well, perhaps it would be best to talk about it what it is not. As we have read from the scriptures tonight, the numerous accounts of the birth of Christ, and I want to focus for just a couple of minutes on Luke chapter 2. We're reading the verses from Dr. Luke, who took special care to for details. And what he writes down here as an account is something that the other gospel writers do not include. What the angels say and sing to the people. This great host of angels appears praising God, and they say this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. What is this peace? Let's talk about what it is not for just a few minutes. In this first century, the Romans ruled a vast empire stretching from North Africa and Egypt in the south to the mountainous regions in northern Europe, all the way from Britain over to the Euphrates. They had a huge empire, and they boasted of their Pax Romana, the peace of the empire, the peace of Rome. What they didn't talk about, of course, is how it was brutally and bloodily enforced by military might, and thousands that were massacred under the iron rod rule. It's similar to modern-day Iran. They supposedly have peace, or perhaps North Korea. They have peace, but it is enforced by military might. This is not the peace that the angels speak of here. The Jews of the first century, who were under the Romans, they longed for peace. They wanted to have self-rule. They wanted to be free from their Roman oppressors and be able to rule themselves and have peace, as most people want to have peace and be self-ruling. While they awaited the promised Messiah, they longed to be free, free from the oppression, and rule themselves as a nation as they had under King David and his successors. And they remembered the promise that God had made to them. God had said, there will never be a time when you will not have someone on the throne of David. And yet, they did not have someone on the throne of David. The man, King Herod, who was there, was not really out of the line of King David. He was an Idumean. And so they wondered, God, what are you doing? We're looking for the peace. You've promised the Messiah. Where is it? But the peace they longed for was not the peace that the angels spoke of here. No. The peace that God, through his angels, is speaking of is this. It's a gift of inner peace, where we are in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. The Scriptures talk about a peace that passes all understanding. In other words, you can be in a prison. You can be in a refugee camp, as some of those Syrian people are that we saw, and there's a number of Christian organizations, including our own, that are ministering to them, bringing them needs and supplies and administering to their needs that they have. They can have peace even in the midst of terrible suffering. You can have peace in your heart through Jesus Christ even if you're incarcerated. I've visited many people who are incarcerated for one reason or another, for one length or another. And you know, as they begin to be forced to face themselves and the issues, they begin to be open to having a discussion about Jesus Christ and about what he can do for your life. You see, sometimes you have to come to the end of yourself before God will speak to you. It's not that he hasn't been, it's just that you haven't been listening. The peace that's spoken of here is a deep inner peace, a peace of mind, a peace of soul and heart made possible by forgiveness through our Savior. You see, regardless of what's happening all around us, you can have this peace. Paul describes it this way. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the favor, this is the grace and the peace that the angels speak of here. You see, the angels say, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men, not automatically to all people. No, it says, to those on whom his favor rests. How do you have the favor of God resting upon you? You must receive it through Jesus Christ. All of us must receive it. This is God's Christmas gift to us, that we can know him, have a relationship with him, not as just some doctrine, not as some philosophy, but as a living Christ risen from the dead. We can know him personally. Why? Why is there this need? Because we were once his enemies. The Scripture talks about that we who have rejected God are his enemies. Therefore, we have peace with God, being justified by faith. Even yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, even while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us. Don and Carol Richardson were missionaries to Irian Jaya. That is known modern-day Indonesia. And they tell of a practice that the tribes had there. They're very primitive tribes when they first went there, and as they were learning the culture, learning the language, trying to make inroads so that they could share the hope and the love of Jesus Christ with them. Here's one of the practices that the tribes would do. If one member of one particular tribe killed another member of that other tribe, then this first tribe would have to do what's called a peace child process. They would have to provide out of one of their tribe's families a peace child. It would be a small child who would be taken by the offended tribe and then killed. And by that act of a peace child, then war would be averted. And he would bring peace through this peace child. Really, what it's following is the biblical practice, the Mosaic law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You see, but 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born in that stable to be our peace child. You see, we were enemies with God, and yet the one who was offended sent a peace child. He sent Jesus Christ to die in my place and your place instead of us. The holy irony is that God supplied the child. Jesus tells us in his ministry that I will give you peace, not as the world gives you, but I give you my peace. But as we read the words of Jesus over and over again, he said, this is not automatic, and it's not simply something that you just get because you want it. No, you must personally receive this gift by putting your faith in Christ. You trust what he has done for you, and you invite him in. The truth of Christmas is that this Christ child that we worship in the manger, and every year we set up the creche, and we usually have some kind of a skit, and we see the baby in the manger, and I always say to my congregation here that, you know, this is very nice, isn't it? It looks so nice, and it doesn't smell at all, does it? You know, but if you were to go back in time to the stable where Jesus Christ was born, it would reek of cows. It would reek of goats. It would not smell all that nice. And it was very rough and crude because there was no room for them at the inn, and so they went to the stable. The truth of Christmas is that this Christ child that was born and brought into the manger came with this purpose, to bear our sin. And then he dies on the cross, and we know that God accepts his sacrifice because he raises him from the dead. And so God's favor rests on those who respond to his call of repentance. They turn from their sin and from their self-will, and they receive Jesus Christ, and they follow him as Lord and Master. And out of this relationship comes peace in my life. Many of us can think of times in our life when there was not peace. I grew up in a family where one of our family members was an alcoholic. And there were many, many times where there was just utter chaos in our family, fighting going on. Many times the police were called. And sometimes it got to the point where we kind of dread the holidays, kind of dread when Christmas was coming because, you know, this family member was going to show up and you just never knew what was going to happen. We were looking at the externals, what we were doing and what was happening around us. You see, but that's not the kind of peace that God is speaking of here. It's not about the celebration of Christmas, because sometimes, you know, times can get tough, and maybe you don't have enough money to celebrate with gifts. Maybe it's a time when you're remembering the loss of a loved one. I know there's a lot of people that tell me that, you know, this is a really tough time for me. Christmas is a really, really tough time for me. So maybe Christmas in that sense is not a good holiday for you. Maybe all of this gift-giving, you know, doesn't really do much for you. That's not the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. The peace that comes from Christ is that which touches our heart and it makes a personal connection with who he is. And then we begin to understand who we are. That it's not about the gifts, it's not about the tinsel, it's not about the trappings. And so Jesus says these words to us. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with them." So as we think about Christmas tonight, let me ask you a question. Have you opened your heart and invited Jesus Christ to come in? Have you opened that door and gave him the invitation? Have you received God's Christmas gift to you. We're going to pray in a moment, and what a beautiful night. If you've never done that, what a beautiful night to open your heart and invite Christ in. And you know what? I know some people wonder if it's really true. Well, I'm here to testify, and if we gave opportunity, we'd probably be here all night for many to testify that, you know, when I came to this church, or when I learned about Jesus Christ, I really wondered if it was true or not. But now I have come to understand that He does live in me. It is a reality. It is not just a doctrine or a belief, but He is the living Christ. And so what a beautiful day, what a beautiful night to invite Christ into your heart. If you've never done that, we're going to pray together, and I invite you in the beautiful, quiet moment to do that. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You that You've loved us so much that You sent Your Son. For indeed, You said, God, You love the world that so much You sent Your Son that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Lord, I know that You have been working in this service through all the beautiful elements of the service and through Your Word. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has never opened their heart, I ask that the Holy Spirit will touch them and give them that willingness and that ability to do that right now. If that's you, just reach out to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I want to know You. I open my heart to You, and I invite You to come in. Start a relationship with me. Do a miracle in my life. Turn my life around. I believe You are the Son of God, that You came and You died on that cross for me, and You rose again to give me new life. Come in, Lord Jesus. I want to know You. And if you'll pray that prayer in your heart, God will begin a miracle in your life, as He has in mine and numerous people here. Father, thank You for this beautiful night as we celebrate the birth, the advent of Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Your precious name. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Well, thank you for being in our service. The way that we close our Christmas Eve service is through candlelight. And so our ushers are coming.